grace to you, mercy and peace from God our Father and from his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I've chosen, a compilation of all three of the lessons once again, but primarily on the gospel lesson, and specifically this verse that will guide us this morning. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So for the text. Of all of the images of all of the ways that Jesus Christ himself pictures who he is and what he does, and all of those seven I am's that we find in the Gospel of St. John, this one is the one that brings me the most comfort, the most peace. It's the one that seems to be more comforting and more gentle and more intimate, that good shepherd. And without a doubt, it's the kindness and it's the gentlest picture of Jesus Christ that we have. The good shepherd who cares for his sheep, who leads them beside, you know, to fresh waters, to still waters, restores their soul, leads them in the paths of righteousness, goes ahead of them then through the valley of the shadow of death, and who anoints their heads with soothing oil, and who prepares a lavish table even in the presence of our enemies. Even in the presence of the wolves who look on. Whose goodness and mercy follows them all of their days. And in the end, the sheep of the good shepherd can say with confidence, I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not only the house of the Lord here as we live out our days with our feet stuck in the mud of a fallen earth, but also the house of the Lord that is promised us in our eternity. Clearly, Jesus had Psalm 23 in mind, of course, when he said, I am the good shepherd. And he wants to be known in these shepherding terms. And a shepherd is the one who lives with his flocks. He dwells with them. He is for all intents and purposes, actually one of the sheep. The sheep recognize their shepherd's voice, and he knows each and every one of his sheep by name. It's an intimate relationship. He goes in front of them, leading instead of driving. And the sheep follow him because they have trust in him. They have learned to trust in him. And they know that he's not going to lead them away into any kind of a dangerous or destructive path. And they will follow him even where their own instincts call them not to go. He is their good shepherd. And his sheep follow him. Like through dark valleys, where there's, you know, hungry wolves, if you will, eyeing them from every cliff. What a wonderful picture this is of the disciples' relationship with Christ Jesus. He is their good shepherd. They are sheep of his pasture. They are the sheep of his hand, the flock that he cares for. And even if you know nothing whatsoever about sheep and shepherding, it's still a warm and fuzzy image that he gives us. And no wonder we have so many paintings and pictures of Jesus carrying a sheep on his shoulder. And as I mentioned before, everyone looks at that and they think of themselves, or they should, that's me on his shoulder. But as comforting as the image of Jesus Christ as the good shepherd might be, we still have to kind of wrap our heads, don't we? We kind of have to wrap our heads around the fact that he has called us a bunch of sheep. And that's not a real flattering comment. Sheep are stubborn. Sheep are stupid. Self-centered. They're high maintenance creatures. They need 27 shepherd in seven, or they basically die of being a sheep. And you only need to go to a county fair or a state fair or one of those things where they gather all the animals of the fields and listen, and you can hear the noise of the sheep. And that's really when you kind of first discover that sheep make a sound that is really a very bad imitation of sheep. You also learn very quickly that cattle people try to keep as far away as they possibly can of sheep people. They really, sheep people get really no respect. Oh, those are the sheep people over there. It was like in Jesus' day as well, when shepherds were considered to be on the lower rung of the social ladder. And if sheep were wandered all over and had no respect for property lines or boundaries, and the shepherds were always hanging out with their flocks, you know, and they were not exactly the sort that you wanted to invite to your next dinner party. It was a shepherd who first worshiped Jesus in Bethlehem. And they were the only ones outdoors that night keeping watch over their flocks. And actually, like it or not, we are. We are the sheep, the flock of the Good Shepherd. Stubborn, straying, prone to wandering. We drink from every putrid pool and munch on any deadly poisonous weed, and we stray off into the wilderness. Like sheep with wool, we fall and we can't right ourselves up. It's like I've fallen and I can't get up. We butt heads with one another. We stubbornly insist on having things our own way. Shepherds involves a lot of circling the flock, you know, with sheep dogs, and, you know, chasing the strays, trying to bring them back into the sheepfold, holding the wolves at bay, and the isolated sheep is as good as dead. It's the very ones that the predators are looking for. They're waiting for that one to be isolated. And so also with straying, isolated Christians, they become easy pickings for the spiritual wolves that are rampant out there. Jesus contrasts himself with the religious hired hand. He makes the comparison. He says the hired hand doesn't know or care about the sheep. He's just in it for the money. And they could be anybody's sheep, really. He didn't care. He doesn't care. And when the wolf comes, he runs, he flees. He has no stake in the sheep whatsoever. And Jesus was referring to this particular time, he was referring to the guardians of the law, the religious leaders of his day, who simply beat people over the head with religious rules and regulations. Do this and don't do that. And did nothing to guard the people away from the wolves of religion in that self-centered way that we all want to be our own gods. In fact, the hired hand used the law to accuse and condemn. You're a sinner. You break the law, you better straighten up. You can't possibly be a sheep of the Good Shepherd. Not the way you act, not what you've done, not what I know about you. Moses and the law don't lay down their lives for you. Rather, they demand your life from you. All of your life. But Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for you. Jesus is likely referring to the practice here of the shepherd sleeping at the opening door, you know, of the sheep pen. And in this way, the shepherd also became the door, if you will, of the sheep. You literally had to step over the shepherd to get to the sheep. You had to kill the shepherd. Sleeping Jesus upon the cross is good. Is the Good Shepherd to lay down his life for you. You are died for. Your sins are atoned for. The law and its accusations can only get to you over the dead body of Jesus. And the Good Shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, and that's the major point of comparison that Christ is getting to here between the shepherd and the hired hand. And all of Jesus' I am sayings have a point of comparison. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he explains the point of comparison. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And we will be looking more closely at that next Sunday. He explains what that means. He says, abide in me and you will be fruitful. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so it is here when he says, I am the good shepherd. And the point of comparison is that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Self-sacrifice, self-giving love is what sets Jesus apart from the world of religion. Religion is, you know, full of examples to follow, paths to explore, ways to enlighten, books that you need to read to make yourself a better person. But there is only one who lays down his life even for those who are not following him. Even for those who are not following him. For those who hated him. Even for his enemies. Jesus even hinted that his flock was bigger than his disciples could see or appreciate. He says, I have other sheep who are not in Israel's fold. And he's referring, of course, to the Gentiles. Who? You gathered here this morning. The non-Israelites were tucked into that little sentence, I have other sheep. And the good shepherd lays down his life as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he's not simply Israel's, but he is the world shepherd. He is not simply the Savior of the chosen few, but of the inclusive many, if you will. And his death upon the cross, his rising from the dead, his ascension into the right hand of the majesty of God, he is gathering all of humanity into his humanity. And in the flesh and the blood of his own humanity, Jesus takes all of our humanity as one flock through death to resurrection and then on to glory. Jesus isn't only a one-man Israel, which he is, but he is a one-man humanity. He is the second Adam. He's the one who embodies all men through all time and makes them one flock under the shepherd. So some might say, oh, so all are going to heaven because all are one flock under the shepherd. And the answer to the world, of course, is no. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, sheep and goats were one flock under one shepherd until the close of the age and the final judgment. And even separated, they still are one flock under one shepherd. The only difference is that the damned goats, if you will, refuse to recognize the way, the truth, and the life. The shepherd who lays down his life. He does it intentionally. He does it voluntarily. He does it in obedience to the Father. He has been given authority, permission to act by the Father to lay down his life. So no, don't get caught up in the Jews killed Jesus movement. Because Christ let himself go to the cross. Those who were there were just used by God to accomplish the work. Jesus' death wasn't an accident. It wasn't due to some sort of weakness in his part. Some note that Jesus had this knack of slipping out of the crowds and eluding capture. And of course he could. Time after time they tried to lay hold of him, but Jesus slips right through the crowds as though he were, you know, covered in grease. And they can't seem to lay hold of him. Even in the garden where he was finally arrested, He simply says the words, I am. It caused the soldiers to fall to the ground. No, simply words, the words, I am. And boom, down they go. That's the power that he had and still has, that he refused it to use at that particular moment in time because there was a work to be done, a death to die for his sheep. And so he stood before Pilate. Jesus said that if his kingdom were of this world, he could call up thousands upon thousands of angels to rush in and have a heavenly jihad right there in the moment, of which this world has never, ever known. And his own disciples were armed with swords, and Peter, you remember, drew out his sword and off with an ear. Jesus didn't say, good job, Peter. He said, Peter put the sword away, and he reached out, and he touched the man's head and healed the ear. He said, Peter, that's not how we do things. He scolded him. It's not how the good shepherd operates. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So in the end and on the cross, Jesus dies on his own terms at the very moment appointed for him when the Lamb of Jerusalem were being slaughtered for the Passover. You don't have the authority to lay down your life or take it up. You're sheep. You're not the shepherd. We don't know what we're doing anyway most of the time. And the best thing for us is that our life is in the hands of our Lord. That our life is in our hands of the good shepherd who laid down his life to save us. That we willingly receive him. Perhaps it isn't flattering to think of yourself as a sheep. And it's not. But the great good news of this Good Shepherd Sunday is that sheep have a shepherd, but yet as a member of the sheepfold, if you will, you have the good shepherd. The one who laid down his life for you so that you might have life in him and so that you might dwell in his house forever, to be part of his flock forever, to be living in his green pastures forever. The Lord is your shepherd. In him you're safe. As sheep would run to and surround the good shepherd, or the shepherd when the shepherd called them, they heard his voice, and they gathered around him, because in his presence, they were comforted. They were assured of their safety. He's your shepherd, in him you are safe. Precisely because you are forgiven. Precisely because you are forgiven. Forgiven in the name of Christ. Amen. Now may that peace that is beyond all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.